David was a man after God's own heart, and he served the purpose of God in his own generation. Join Reverend I.T. Matura as he does a study of the life of David and teach practical biblical lessons. Get ready to be empowered and equipped by the Word of God.
Greetings, saints. Welcome to our study of the life of David. We continue to look at chapter 1, the early years of David. Now, last week we covered lesson 1 of chapter 1, where we looked at David being anointed at Bethlehem. We covered in an overview, an introduction to the life and the person of David, who we see first mentioned in the book of Ruth, and his genealogy is given there, that he was the son of Jesse. And now Jesse was the son of Obed-Edom, who was the son of Ruth together with Boaz. And we are traced his generations back to Perez, back to Judah. And we see him coming in that line of the tribe of Judah, which was prophesied by Jacob, their patriarch and father, who declared that the scepter will not depart out of the house of Judah until Shiloh comes, who is Jesus Christ. So there is a prophetic word and a covenant that establishes Judah as the lineage of the Messiah. Now, when you look at the book of Matthew, you see that it begins by giving a genealogy that traces back from Abraham through Judah, through King David, and up to Jesus, who is the son of David. And last week we saw that even though Judah was the fourth born, but because of a prophetic word, he was elevated to be the first as the king in the tribes of Israel. And there we are introduced to David, a young boy, the eighth son of Jesse. And we see him then being anointed, his first anointing at Bethlehem, in the midst of his brothers, where he had been left out. But because God had chosen him, it doesn't matter that he had been rejected by people. But when God chooses you, the anointing will locate you. We ended then by looking at the preparation of David. After the anointing, he still had to go back and take care of the sheep of his father. And later on, he was called to minister in music to Saul, who was now filled with an evil spirit. And God was preparing him to become king one day. And we saw that whatever journey you are on, God is going to prepare you. He will mold you and prepare you for that journey. We then looked at five lessons that we draw out of chapter 16 of 1 Samuel, and what a blessing it was. Today we continue. We go to lesson number 2, which I have titled, David Inspires Israel to Victory Over the Philistines. What a blessing. Get your notebook. Let's get into the Bible. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17. That is the chapter we are going to focus on. It's quite a long chapter, but we are going to summarize it. And I believe it's going to be a blessing unto you as the Spirit of God gives you understanding and insight and revelation. So we'll do an overview of this chapter, and we'll look at five lessons at the end. As we begin our overview, we'll look at part one of that overview, which is the battle arrangement from verse 1 to verse 11. There we see, as the chapter begins, the writer tells us that the Philistines gathered for battle at Soko, belonging to Judah. And Israel also gathered their armies against the Philistines, and they camped by the valley of Elah. So you see that the Philistines were enemies to the children of Israel, or to the nation of Israel. This is one of the nations they had to deal with when they came into the promised land, and they continue to be antagonistic. If you read the book of Judges, you see them attacking Israel. And during the days of Samson, God raises Samson in order to defeat the Philistines. So the Philistines were an enemy to Israel. And during this time, they mount up and come for battle. You read in verse 3 and says, and the Philistines stood by a mountain on one side, and Israel stood by a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. Yay, what a scene. I want you to imagine this scenario, that the Philistines are on a mountain this side, Israel is on another mountain on the other side. The armies are aligned, and between them there is a valley which is supposed to be the battlefield, and they are engaging each other, waiting to attack one another and preparing for battle. The following verses go on then to describe the giant who was a Philistine called Goliath. What a giant this man was. So this was the giant who the Philistines put ahead, and he was taunting the armies of Israel. He was coming and speaking words that were instilling fear into Israel. The writer even records his size. The Bible says whose height was 7 cubits and a span. This was a huge man. We are talking almost 3 meters and something going up. So when he stood, he was not thin, he was huge and gigantic. And the Bible describes his helmet, describes his breastplate, describes his spear, how heavy it was, his sword, and even his shield was carried by an armor bearer. So this was a man that when you looked at, he struck fear into you. So this is the guy that Philistine put ahead, and he would come out, and every day you'd say, give me a man that can fight me. If he wins, then you win the battle. If I win, then you become our slaves. We win the battle. And the Bible says, each time you'd come out and speak, the men of Israel, the soldiers, would be hit by fear. The Bible says they were dismayed and they would run back to their tents. What a shock. Here are men who have gone to battle, and their wives who have been left at home are saying, our husbands are in battle fighting the enemy. But all they are doing night and day is coming out, putting on their armor. Goliath comes, speaks a few words, and they run into their tents. If their wives had come to the battlefront, they would have been shocked and even come to the place of being embarrassed with their husbands, who were afraid of this giant. But this giant was a threatening figure. If it was you, would you have been able to stand? You might put blame on this man, but Goliath was such an imposing figure that when he came out and when he spoke with that thunderous voice, the men of Israel were filled with fear and they would run into their tents. So this is the scenario that we see there. And verse 11 says, when Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So including the king and his men, when they heard the words, mark, the Bible says, when they heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed. Dismayed means they were discouraged and greatly afraid. Words are powerful. Words carry power. That is why Jesus says, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So whatever words you hear, they have a spirit that they carry. Whether it they be spoken or they be sung, those words carry a certain spirit with them that can affect you. So the words of Goliath caused fear and dismay in the whole army of Israel, including the king. The second part of our interview, of our overview here, is Jesse's assignment for David. Now we see this in verse 12 to verse 20 of chapter 17. Now we are introduced again to Jesse, the father of David, one who had 8 sons, and David was the youngest of them. The Bible tells us about the 3 elder brothers who had followed Saul to battle. This was Eliab, the firstborn. You remember him in chapter 16. He came first, and Prophet Samuel had been deceived by his stature and said, this is the Lord's anointed. And God had to correct him and rebuke him and say, I don't see the way man sees. I look at the heart. And number 2 was Abinadab. And number 3 was Shammah. So these were the first, the eldest of the sons of Jesse. And all had gone into battle, followed Saul to battle. And these were among the men that were running away from Goliath the giant. Verse 15 says, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. Now you remember in chapter 16 that when it ended, David had been called into the service of the king. He would play the harp for the king so that the tormenting spirits would leave him and he would be comforted. So the Bible says he used to go from Saul and back to take care of his father's sheep. This is a young man who remains accountable. Even after he's in the service of the king, he remains accountable to take care of the sheep of his father. That's a sign of accountability. Verse 16 says, "And the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself for 40 days. So for 40 days, Goliath was coming out and speaking words, and Israel would run away. It is during these 40 days that one of the days Jesse says to David, "Can you go and check on the welfare of your older brothers?" And he gives them some food to carry, cheese, bread, to go and give to the brothers who were in battle, and even gives a portion that he was to give to the commander of the thousand that was also in battle, because Jesse had an understanding that these young men were fighting the enemy. Let's sponsor, let's help them. But when you look at it, it's not really that he was concerned about their hunger, because the army was not fed by a few loaves. The state had to take care of the welfare of soldiers. But the father wanted to send the young men and to see and hear how his sons were doing, whether they were still alive, whether they were not injured, whether they were not hurt. And this was a small assignment that was wrapped around taking food to the brothers. Yet God had a bigger agenda for David, which was disguised under an assignment to bring food to your elder brothers. Verse 20 of chapter 17 says, "And David rose early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse commanded him." Look at this young man. He has been anointed to be the future king, but yet he is still obedient to the voice of his father. Here he is being assigned to take food to his brothers. And the Bible says he woke up early. This shows you that he was eager. He was obedient. He wasn't dragging his feet. He was ready to fulfill the assignment he was given by his father. And look at his responsibility. The Bible says he leaves the sheep with a keeper. He doesn't just say, "Because I've been sent somewhere, dead, make sure the sheep are okay. I'm now on another assignment." But before he leaves, he looks for a keeper to take care of the sheep. This is the heart that caused God to choose David and make him to be the king and shepherd over the nation of Israel. And the Bible says he went as he was commanded. So he took the command of his father very seriously and he departed. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for battle. Oh, what a blessing. Now, the third part of this overview, we now look at David's interactions at the battlefront from verse 21 to verse 40. David arrived at the battlefront just in time as the armies were lining up for battle, and he gets excited. Here is a young man. He has never been at war. He has never been at battle. He's not old enough maybe to be inscripted into Saul's army. He's not chosen among those that are to go to battle. Only the elder brothers are taken. But there's something significant here I want you to follow, because David had four other brothers that could have been sent by Jesse to go and see the welfare of these three elder brothers. But Jesse chose David among the others that were even older to him. You see how Jesse trusted this young man to go and on this assignment that seemed a little bit dangerous, but he entrusts the youngest David to go and carry out this assignment because of his faithfulness and his accountability. May God give us the same, that we may be responsible, accountable, and faithful as we lead and take care of the things that God has entrusted us. Now David arrives and he sees this scene, and you can imagine the excitement. Verse 22 says, "And David left the carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army." You see, this young man is excited. He's not walking, he's running into the army. You see, he's been looking for, this is one of the greatest honor of looking and being part of an army of your nation. You have heard stories about battle and you have never been there. And David is right inside and he saluted his brethren. So he went to his brothers. So before he did anything, he went to fulfill the assignment of his father. Even though he was excited, he went to salute his brothers and to check on them. Verse 23 says, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. So as this scene is set up, David arises, speaks to his brothers, and at that moment Goliath comes, as was his custom over the past 40 something days. He comes out again. And the Bible says the Philistine, the champion. So this man was a champion in battle. He was famous and he was from Gath. In that place, Gath was a town in Philistine. And this had been a place that God had commanded to be destroyed when Joshua and Israel entered into the promised land. But they did not destroy Gath and they left people there, and out of those that were left out of disobedience grew this giant that now comes to taunt and to torment Israel. So you see that when we don't obey God fully, those things that we leave later on in the future, they will come back to cause us problems, pain, and troubles. We need to obey the voice of God. So here is David hearing those words that Israel has heard for 40 days plus of saying, give me a man. Here are men, but among them no one was man enough, to stand up to Goliath. But David hears these words, but I want you to see that David hears them differently. There is a different perception, there's a different attitude that is in David. The Bible says in verse 24, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were so afraid. Now, it had gotten to the point that now, even before Goliath spoke, the words had already paralyzed them over the past 40 days, that the just seeing him, fear struck, and they began to shake. Hey, are there giant problems like that in your life? Are there situations like that, that the moment they appear, they are causing fear into your life? But I love the Bible. It says, the Lord has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. That's what God has given to you and I. So you see here David, who did not have the spirit of fear. He was not around all these days when others were tormented. When he hears this word, something rises in him. He was shocked to see his brothers, his elder brothers that he had looked up to as heroes, the soldiers, the stories he had heard about King Saul in battle. He had heard about the soldiers, the mighty men that were with Saul, but he sees his heroes and mighty men starting to run away from Goliath. And this is shocking to him. He's confused and he looks at it and says, something is not right here. How can this uncircumcised Philistine cause so much trouble? And he begins to ask, what shall be done for the man who kills this uncircumcised? Uncircumcised, emphasizing it to say he doesn't have a covenant with Jehovah, he doesn't have a covenant with Yahweh, and he is defying the armies of God. And he was told that whoever defeats him, the king has promised riches, he has promised the king's daughter, and he will even be exempted from taxes. What a reward, what a reward. Not to pay any taxes, to be given the king's daughter, no need for lobola. David goes to confirm again. He wanted to make sure. Now when he's confirming, his elder brother hears him talking, and he says, he becomes angry and says, David, what are you up to? I know you're up to no good. You are causing trouble here because it's of your pride. Who have you left those few sheep with? Now, here is an elder brother trying to talk him down, trying to belittle him in battle, to say, you are not a man. Go back to the sheep there. Now, this is what happens many times when God has an assignment for you. Those that have known you over the years, they don't see the gifting, they don't see the grace, and they look down upon you in their ignorance. They'll try and belittle you, they'll try and talk you down. Don't allow those words of even a brother, even an uncle, even a sister, even an aunt, to stop you from doing what God has called you to do. David did not listen to Eliab. The Bible says he turned aside and asked the name. He did not even want time to argue. But one, there's a statement that he said in verse 29. What a powerful statement. David said, "What have I done now? Is there not a cause?" Hey, is there not a cause? He's saying, is there not a cause for me to rise up at this time and such a season? Because my brother, you have been here for 40 days, but you have done nothing about it. So is there not a cause now that I arise and do something against this Philistine so that the armies of Israel may not be defiled by this uncircumcised Philistine? Now, the words of David were told to Saul, and he is then brought before the king. In verse 32, David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with these Philistines." Philistine, look and hear the words of a young man with faith and boldness. He says to the king, "Let no one faint. Let no one be troubled. I am ready to face the giant." But even the king himself doubts the abilities of David. And he also tries to talk him down. He says, "Young man, listen here. I've been at war for years. And this here is a giant. And he has been at war since his youthful days. He's not someone small. He is not an easy opponent. So take it easy. Go and find something else to do." But David was not having any of it. He was not ready to back down. He was ready to exercise his faith, and he stands up and begins to confess the testimonies of what God had done in his life. He says, "When I was in the fields, in the wilderness, all alone, when a lion came against the sheep I was taking care of, I arose and I teared the lion into two. A bear came and I killed it. The same God that delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from this Philistine." Saul sees that he can't stop him, and he says, "All right, take my armor." He removes his armor and gives it to David. David tries it on. You can imagine that scene. He tries to walk with the armor, but the armor is too heavy for him. He can't. And he says to Saul, "Thank you so much." He speaks kindly and says, "But I can't. I'm not used to this armor. Let me use what I am used to." It's very important sometimes that don't use borrowed tools. Don't use borrowed armors, because in the time of battle, you will not be able to maneuver in a borrowed armor. David says, "No, thank you. Let me use what I used when God delivered me from the lion." Verse 40 says, "And he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook." Hey, five is the number of grace. He picks five stones, and whenever you see a rock, it is Christ Jesus. And amongst grace, the Bible says Jesus came full of grace and truth. He took five of them and he put them in his shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling in his hand, and he drew near the Philistine. He is a young man ready for battle. The last part, the fourth part of our overview, we're looking now at verse 41 to 58. David overcomes Goliath. Now, the story of David and Goliath is a very famous story, but I want you to listen to it with a clear mind, because I believe God has something for you from this story that has been told over and over again. There's revelation and there's something for you. Now, Goliath draws near to fight David, but he's shocked when he then notices that this is only but a young boy that is coming to me, and he begins to tease him and say, "Am I a dog that you come to me with a stick?" And Goliath begins to curse David with his gods and threaten him and say, "I'll feed your body, your flesh, to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Now, even though Goliath notices that he's a boy and tries to tease him, he's trying to belittle him, he's trying to affect the psychology of David, that David becomes afraid. And he begins now from psychology, he moves to the spirit realm and begins to speak curses using the gods of the Philistines. He begins to use curses and to threaten him. And words. Now, words are dangerous. So Goliath knew that he can't just fight David. He had to first defeat him with words. It is words that are used first, that are thrown. And that is why you must be careful of words that attack your soul, your mind, your conscience, that attack your spirit through curses and threats that come from the enemy. So David did not keep quiet. He responded, because when words are spoken, you must respond with your own words to cancel the words of the enemy. 1 Samuel 17:45. Then said David to the Philistine, you must say something. Thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and with a shield, but I come unto thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. So now he sees that this man is coming in natural strength, his sword and spear, and then he's also cursing with his God. So David then transitioned into the spirit realm and says, I'm not coming on my own. I am coming in the name of the Lord, whom you have defiled. So he changes the battlefield. He says, you have not attacked me. You have not defiled me or Israel, but the God of Israel, and that same God is the one I'm coming with. So David confesses his faith in God, and that God is going to fight for him. Verse 47 says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord serveth not with sword or spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. What a statement. David says, the battle belongs to the Lord. It is not about me. It is by the Lord. Here is a statement of faith, putting your trust in God. And he says, my God will deliver you into my hands. And Goliath begins to charge toward David. And David did not stand back. He also charged towards Goliath. And in verse 49, David put his hand in his bag where there were those five stones, and took one stone and he put it on the sling. He swung the slingshot and he hit the head of Goliath. And the stone sank into the head and he fell onto his face on the earth. Goliath, the mighty giant, one stone hit him, and one stone, Jesus Christ, took him down, and he fell face down, not backwards, but forward, bowing to the God, Jehovah, Yahweh. And David had overcome. Verse 50 says, so David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in his hand. What overcame? He overcame by his faith in God. David's victory over Goliath gave motivation and courage to the army of Israel that was full of fear. Suddenly, they saw a young man overcome a giant, and they began to run towards the Philistine. They chased them, pursued them, defeated them, and they took up spoil from the victory that they came back with from the tent. When Saul saw David, he could not recognize this man. There's a verse there that is so amazing, where Saul asks Abner, his chief army commander, whose son is that? Whose son is that? As David was going out to fight Goliath, I want you to know that no matter what you do, you are identified by whose son you are, in the natural and in the spirit. Abner says, that's the son of Jesse. That's the son of Jesse. Whose son are you? Have you ever been to the rural areas? When people see you, they ask, whose son is this? Because whatever you do, you are identified by your fathers. And in verse 57, David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, and Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine. So the head of Goliath, he brought it to Saul. Even though he fought the battle, he fought in the name of Saul. So he brings the head to Saul. Now, David had already been in the presence of Saul playing the harp, but Saul had never noticed. During his time of being demon-possessed, he just said, who is this young man who can play nicely? He plays and he goes. But now, when the anointing for battle is activated, King Saul says, who son is that? There is a day that God will expose your gifting, where people begin to ask, whose son is that? Whose daughter is that? When God manifests the grace that he has placed upon your life. The last verse says, and Saul said to him, whose son art thou, young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse the Bethlehemite. and David knew whose son he was. Whose son are you? Let's look at five lessons we draw from this chapter as we conclude this exposition. Just stay with me for a few more minutes as we conclude. Now, lesson number one, don't allow the enemy to speak and you remain quiet. Don't be quiet when the devil or demonic spirits speak, and these demonic spirits speak through people. And sometimes those people are people close to you. They don't come as the enemy you might know. That is why Jesus, when the devil was trying to hide behind Peter, Jesus saw it and said, "Get behind me, Satan." When the devil speaks, you speak back. When demonic spirits speak, when demonic words are spoken against your life, no matter who it is, don't keep quiet. Speak words to counter the words of the enemy, because the words of the enemy instill fear. If you don't respond, the spirit of fear will paralyze you and you will not be able to do anything. So it is important that when the enemy speaks, you respond and declare words of faith. The Bible says you shall speak to the mountain and say. You have to speak for the mountain to move. Lesson number two, don't look down on any assignment that you are given by your father or by your leader. You see David being given an assignment to go and take food to his brothers. He could have said, "What? This is an insult, a small assignment. I don't want to do this." He might have even done it grudgingly. But look at David, his humility. He woke up early in the morning and obeyed the voice of his father, and he went on that assignment. I've learned over the years that there are small assignments that open mega doors in your life. A small assignment that you are given by someone. It might be even your boss at work, a small assignment that can lead to your promotion. It might be your pastor at church giving you an assignment that will open doors for you in ministry. It might be your father, even your natural father, that gives you an assignment that will open doors, even your spiritual father. Don't look down on any assignment. It is the power to open mega doors for your ministry, as it did for David. Number three, declare your testimony even when it seems small. Your testimony, a testimony declared, stirs up faith, not for others only, but for you yourself. When you are faced by great challenges, testify of what God has done for you before and say, "The God that took me through 2020, the year of COVID-19, will take me through 2021 and the years that are ahead. The God who opened a door for me will still open another door for me. The God who healed me is a God who continues to heal. The Lord who delivered me will deliver me again." So declare your testimony. It will stir up faith. That's what David did when people were trying to discourage him. He confessed his faith and his testimony, and it stirred up faith in him. Hallelujah. Now, lesson number four, when faced with any giant problem or challenge, put your faith and trust in God. There are giant challenges in life, giant, humongous mountains, what Jesus speaks about. When they come in your life like a Goliath, you need to put your trust and faith in God. Don't back down. David was faced by a giant who was a champion, but he did not focus on himself and his small size and him being a youth. His focus was on God, who was able to do far more increasingly beyond what he could imagine or even think. Whatever you are facing, put your faith and your trust in God, no matter how big, no matter how humongous the challenges are, no matter the mountain that is blocking your way, trust in God. Believe God for victory, as David did. David says, "I don't come with a spear, you come with a spear, with a sword, but I come in the name of the Lord." May the name of the Lord be a strong tower for you. May the name of the Lord cause you to overcome every giant that you are facing in your life. May the name of the Lord open and make a way for you. The last lesson is, always remember even in victory, to honor fathers and to give glory to God. Very important. David, after victory, a famous victory over a giant, when he was called by the king, he came and he gave honor to the king. Even though King Saul was not the one who went to battle, he brings the head of Goliath and he presents it to Saul to honor him, to say, it was in your name that I went out to fight Goliath. If you had not given me a chance, if you had said no, there was not going to be a David overcoming Goliath. So you must always remember those that have opened the door for you, those that have paved the way for you, those that have given you a platform. When you are now blessed, when you are now successful, don't forget those that gave you a platform for you to be victorious. It's very important. David honored Saul, but also he gave glory to God. He knew that it was not by might nor by power, but it was by the Spirit of God that he had overcome. Never forget that no matter the victory you achieve in life, always remember to honor leaders, fathers, but give glory to God. Glory belongs unto God, for it is Him that delivers us from every attack and from every giant that comes against our lives. Hallelujah. What a blessing. Can I pray for you today? Heavenly Father, I thank you for my brother, my sister that is listening today. They might be facing giant problems in their lives. I pray and I declare, Father, that you have not given them a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. I come against every spirit of fear. May it lose its hold over your life. I come against words that have been spoken against you, that have bruised your self-esteem, that have caused you to be afraid, that have caused you not to break forth and progress in life. May those words be nullified in the name of Jesus. I pray that the grace of God and your faith be stirred up in you, that you may arise and overcome giant situations that are in your life. May you be anointed as David was anointed to overcome Goliath. May you be anointed. May you be anointed. May you be anointed. May you overcome. May you prevail in Jesus' mighty name. And may God give you wisdom in your victory to honor those that have given you a platform and to give glory unto God in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you so much for tuning in. We continue next week, Monday, and we are looking at lesson number 3 of chapter 1, David's rise to prominence and his promotion. Amen.
Thank you for listening and following the lesson on the study of the life of David. For more Bible lessons, follow Reverend I.T. Matura on his podcast at innocentmatura.podbean.com.